Under grace, God promised them this would never happen again, because I'm going to give you another covenant, a new covenant. I'm going to forget your sins. You'll never have to face judgment for your sins. Judgment will never be an issue from heaven ever again. That's grace. That's the dispensation of grace. That's why you can say, your sins and iniquities I will forgive and remember no more. Why? Because in this promised new covenant, the Son would be judged. All the wrath of God would be poured on him. They got what they had coming. That's the language of the law covenant. You see, that language is going to change. I'm going to give you a new covenant. And I'm going to take it all out of my Son, Jesus. And you will never have to face your sins ever again.
Hallelujah.
It's the truth. Man may want to throw it in your face. The law may want to throw it in your face. But God will not throw it in your face. You will never go into Babylonian captivity ever again. The Babylonian revelation of grace. Let's go again. You know, I just love God, Randall, for giving this when they were in captivity in Babylon under the law. I mean, what a beautiful time to do it. When all hell had broken loose, everybody knew they deserved it. Jeremiah was bawling his eyes out. He's known as the weeping prophet, howling over the sins of Israel. And God said, come in there, wouldn't have any of that. Grace for the best and worst days of your life. Would you turn to Jeremiah chapter 31 for me, please? When you found it, just put your hand there. We won't need it for a little bit, but if you've got it, you've got it. Jeremiah chapter 31. Praise God, I'm no longer a slave of fear.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I tell you what, my friends, the record of the Old Testament, we have so much experience with God recorded. He never forgets his own. He knows where they are. And he comes after them and fights for them. He does. He does. Now, I've looked at several books over the years and heard the stories about the Babylonian exile and the horror and the sorrow of the children of Israel that they faced, having basically turned their backs on the precepts of the law and the commandments of God. Gotten to the place under the law where God had to do something. And then Jeremiah addressed this. There were other prophets involved too. And the truth is, so many of them died. So many of them had incredibly terrible experiences. And they were hauled off in captivity. And the title of my message tonight is based on God finding them in the midst of this and giving us what actually turns out to be one of the greatest, best quoted promises of grace in the middle of your captivity that we have in the whole Old Testament. I don't want you to turn to the chapter, but just hold your hand there, but it's devoted to that. And the title of my message is Grace for the best and worst days of your life. Grace for the best and worst days of your life. Amen. And I want you to know that by the time we've been through this chapter, you will be singing a new song. There's a lot of revelation in this. No one knows what it cost the Jews to endure the bondage that came upon them during the law covenant days of Jeremiah, when they were driven into captivity for their sins. And so many folks who don't understand the contrast in covenants, which we'll deal with later on, feel like that's what's happened to them. I must be in this dreadful situation because of my sins, and I'm taken captive, and God is against me, and he's got me stuck in this place. I'll tell you one thing for sure. The devil wants you to believe you're stuck.
Yeah, he does.
The devil wants you to believe that, yes, no matter how hard you try, you're pushing against an immovable stone. And God just wants you to use up your entire life pushing against a stone that won't move. Now, there are areas in our lives where that could well be true. But as a general rule, there's nothing, there isn't a bigger lie. The devil wants you to settle in silence. He wants to give away your life and your energy and say, well, you know, why try? Why put out the effort? What's the use? If God blesses me, God blesses me. If he doesn't, he doesn't. And that is so fatalistic. It was in the midst of the sorrow and pain of the Babylonian judgment and captivity that God promised grace to the survivors. They were what was left. And I'm going to get into the scriptures and the context in a moment, but this is just by way of summary in advance. Jeremiah 31 is one of the greatest revelations of grace in the Old Testament because of two things. It gives you the context in which grace was promised. These people were stuck in Babylonian exile and bondage for their wickedness. And yet in the midst of it, God came and said, I'm going to give you grace. And it was a prophesying of the grace we would receive, and we'll get to that. Something else shows up in this passage on the subject of grace. It shows off the everlasting love of God that backs up grace. Because he talks about grace, and then shortly after, don't look there yet, I'll give it all to you. He says, and this is a scripture I memorized as a teenage boy, I have loved thee with an everlasting love, therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee. And you say, when did you say that? When I was in Sunday school? No, when you were in Babylon and a dead man. When you thought God had abandoned you, when you thought that it all was a waste of time, when you thought your good wasn't worth a nickel and your bad had overwhelmed you, he said, I have loved you with an everlasting love. And with loving kindness you have drawn me. You mean when I went into captivity? I mean when you went into captivity. You mean when I was made a slave? Yes, I mean when you were made a slave. I, my everlasting love, never left you for a moment. The devil is a liar.
He is.
Because the pitch he gives us is always based on the fact that his love has left us. We've gone beyond and can't be helped. Now I want to address the four things to say about the Babylonian revelation of grace. And I want to read verses 1 and 2 from Jeremiah 31, so would you learn, please look there. At the same time, Jeremiah 31, 1 and 2, at the same time, says the Lord, I will be the God of all the families of Israel, and they shall be my people, thus says the Lord. The people who survived the sword found grace in the wilderness. Israel, when I went to give him rest. What an incredible prophetic promise given to these people. Number one, the Lord gave them grace in the midst of their sorrow in their wilderness experience. And perhaps you feel like you're in a little bit of a wilderness experience. I know it's the burden of God's heart that you understand that he came to find you, to give you rest, and that the medium of that rest is you finding the power of grace in your life. It says, the people who survived the sword found grace in the wilderness. Well, it wasn't lying there like a rock. They came to the place in their lives where they didn't realize, and you'll see before we get to the end of this chapter, they didn't realize that they were actually prefiguring another dispensation, another covenant, and that there was an opportunity for them there, though they deserved it, to find grace, to find rest, and to know that it says, God speaking, I went to give him rest. God has come to find you in your place of wilderness, Jeremiah 31, 1 and 2, to give you rest. And he wants you, folks, as never before, with all your incredible knowledge on the subject of grace, he wants you to find grace in the wilderness. That's an incredible statement right there, isn't it?
Yes.
Not just grace in the good times, but he wants you to find grace in the wilderness. Now, they lived in one dispensation, prefiguring what we live today in another dispensation, but I don't want to touch that yet. We'll get there. Number two, the Lord reminded them that he always loved them, even when it did not look like it. Verses 3 through 6. The Lord has appeared of old to me, saying, yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn you. Again, I will build you, and you shall be rebuilt, O Virgin of Israel. You shall again be adorned with your tambourines, and you shall go forth in the dances of those who rejoice. You shall yet plant vines on the mountains of Samaria. The planters shall plant and eat them as ordinary food. He says in verse 6, for there shall be a day when the watchman will cry on Mount Ephraim, arise, let us go up to Zion, to the Lord our God. He said, I want you to know it all had a loving purpose, even though it didn't always feel like love. You know, if you can start interpreting your life through those incredible realities, it'll change the whole complexion of your response. Boy, I thought I was done for. I thought I was in trouble. I thought God was mad with me. And I'm going to deal with something in a moment that's going to blow you away. But the fact is, I've loved you with an everlasting love, and with loving kindness I've drawn you. And I've got such a good plan for you, it's outrageous. And I'll get into that in a moment too. Then, number three, grace offered them a bright new future in spite of their present sorrows. And he describes what grace was going to do for them in verses 13, 14, and 22 through 23. Let me look at this with you, shall we? Or 22 through 25. Verse 13, then shall the virgin rejoice in the dance. And I'm going to show you something, folks. They were talking about us today. The young men and the old together, for I will turn their mourning to joy. Will comfort them and make them rejoice rather than sorrow. I will satiate the soul of the priest with abundance, and my people shall be satisfied with my goodness, says the Lord. This is the picture of grace. Now jump down, would you please, to verse 23. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, they shall again use this speech of the land of Judah and its cities when I bring them back their captivity. The Lord bless you, O habitation of justice and mountain of holiness. And there shall dwell in Judah itself and in all its cities together farmers and those going out with flocks. He says so beautifully, for I have satiated the weary soul, and I have replenished every sorrowful soul. Now, my friends, grace will satisfy. Yes. You've just got to find grace in the wilderness and say, man, I don't have to stay here and die.
Right.
I really don't. This is a lie.
A lot.
Now, number four is incredible. The Lord promised them, those Law Covenant Jews, a better and new covenant of grace so that they would never have to fear the judgment of those horrible times again. And before I give you the scriptures, I want to explain this to you. Do you understand something? These Jews were in Babylonian captivity and basically tortured, living tortured lives. Because under the law, judgment had to be faced. And they were going to face their judgment. But listen to me, folks. Under grace, God promised them this would never happen again, because I'm going to give you another covenant, a new covenant, and you won't, I'm going to forget your sins. You'll never have to face judgment for your sins. Judgment will never be an issue from heaven ever again. That's grace. That's the dispensation of grace. That's why you can say, your sins and iniquities I will forgive and remember no more. Why? Because in this promised new covenant, the Son would be judged. All the wrath of God would be poured on him. He would take the judgment and we would be born free in this covenant of grace. But you've got to get that picture. You've got to, until the light comes on and you jump up and down and embrace it by faith and go crazy, I am not going to be happy.
Amen.
Was there something so massive there? I thought, you know, God, under the law covenant, where they were getting what they deserved. They got what they had coming. That's the language of the law covenant. You see, that language is going to change. Mm-hmm. I'm going to give you a new covenant. And I'm going to take it all out on my Son Jesus. And you will never have to face your sins ever again.
Hallelujah.
It's the truth.
Yeah.
Man may want to throw it in your face. The law may want to throw it in your face. But God will not throw it in your face. You will never go into Babylonian captivity ever again. Now you say, well, what about the fact that he said he'd remove the candlestick from the church? It's another issue altogether. He wasn't judging them. He was just saying, you don't want it. You're not fit for it. I'll take it away. That's not Babylonian captivity, I assure you. And so he says in verses 31 through 34, some of the most shocking things about what he's going to do for these people under the law in Babylonian captivity. Verse 31, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel, with the house of Judah. Sounds like the book of Hebrews, doesn't it? Because it's the quote. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant which they broke, though I was a husband to them, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I'll put my laws in their minds and write them on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No more shall every man teach his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquities, and their sins will I remember no more. And their judgment in Babylon was the manifestation of the fact that he was remembering their sins.
He was
finding them worthy of judgment and judging them. They had lost everything. But he says, it's coming a day that won't ever happen again. I'm never going to remember your sins ever again. And then when the Hebrew writer writes in the Hebrews about this new covenant to be living by, he says, that was for us. We're living in a time today, he says, when you will never be judged and hauled off to Babylon. So, well, I know people have been hauled off to Babylon. Then they walked there because they wanted to go. They gave the devil permission and he wiped them out. God didn't do it. Stop blaming God for stupid people's stupid decisions. They did it all by themselves. With the Holy Ghost begging them not to, with the Word of God advising them not to,
right,
and with the devil welcoming them to do so.
That's right.
But not by God.
Amen.
He said, their sins and their iniquities I will remember no more.
Amen.
So if I could read these four, then give you my conclusions, I'll come to an end. The subject, don't forget, is this. Grace for the best and worst days of your life. You see, I believe, and I mean this lovingly, that you've misinterpreted your life. You've got yourself in a knot, and it's a lie of the devil. It's a lie of the devil. We're under a new covenant, the covenant of blessing and favor and dancing and grapes that no one will ever believe. The Babylonian revelation of grace. Let's go again. You know, I just love God, Randall, for giving this when they were in captivity in Babylon under the law.
That's true.
I mean, what a beautiful time to do it. When all hell had broken loose, everybody knew they deserved it. Jeremiah was bawling his eyes out. He's known as the weeping prophet, howling over the sins of Israel. And God said, it's coming today. I wouldn't remember any of that.
That's exactly.
That'll no longer be the issue. I'm talking about the forgiveness package on Sunday. Come this Sunday. It'll be a real blessing. If you're going to the shore, put it off for a little bit. The truth of the matter is this, folks. You've got to get a revelation here. In this Babylonian captivity, in the midst of the worst thing Israel ever went through that devastated them forever, he says, I've visited them to tell them I have an everlasting love for you, and I've drawn you in this everlasting love, and the remnant that didn't die through the whole thing have found grace. And let me tell you about that. I'm going to fill your life with blessing and joy, and I'm going to make a new covenant with you, and this kind of thing will never be able to happen ever again. It's over with. I've got to read these four things to you very quickly again. The Babylonian revelation of grace. Number one, the Lord gave them grace in the midst of their sorrows in their wilderness experience. What a time for it, verses 1 and 2. Number two, the Lord reminded them that he always loved them, even when it did not look like it, verses 3 through 6. Number three, grace offered them a bright new future in spite of their present sorrows, verses 13, 14, 23 through 25. And number four, finally, the Lord promised them a better and new covenant of grace so that they would never have to fear the judgment of those horrible times ever again.
Hallelujah.
They got the sure mercies of David. They got the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ financed by his death, burial, and resurrection for them, where God poured out in his final last great act all the judgment that would ever be poured out on sin ever again.
Hallelujah.
What's the conclusion? Number one, the horrors of the Babylonian captivity would be no more. No more, no more. The horrors of the Babylonian captivity would be no more. They can't be, because all of the judgments have been taken out on Jesus. So as I said, the days of judgment are over. It is the time of restoration and blessing, the dispensation of grace. Isn't that something? That devil is a lie. See, he wants to bring up this and that and the other thing and say, here's why you're where you're at. These seven things. That devil is a liar.
That's right, amen. Mm-hmm.
Number two. No matter what you are suffering through, because of grace, you can prosper there. No matter what you're suffering through, and we are all going to suffer. And when it says in Hebrews, whom the Lord loves, he chastens every one, what he's saying is this. Okay, you want to get yourself in trouble, I'll let you go. I heard a great message the other day on the fact that, I think it was Bishop Jakes, he was talking about the fact the day as a younger preacher, he discovered that the devil, neither the devil nor his angels, devils, can do one thing without permission. Can't do one thing. Job, what do you say? No, you can only do this and this and this. Can't do one thing without permission. You give him some permission, he's got some space. That is stupid. And you can retract that in 2 seconds time and God will come to your rescue and grace will be there to find grace to help in time of need. What does that mean if it doesn't mean find grace to help in time of need? If find grace to help in time of need doesn't mean find grace to help in time of need, what does it mean? I believe Christians living yo-yo lives are either doing it because of ignorance, indolence, or open doors to the devil, and they can be shut in 1 second time and God will have a party. No matter what you're suffering through, because of grace, you can prosper there. I believe you folks are to go to the top in your own field. I'm not being ignorant enough to say go outside of your gifting, calling, and makeup to do something God ever called you to do, because that is silly. Satisfy your greeds and your lusts.
Right.
Come on. No one in their right mind would say that, but I am saying, methinks some of you have no idea how much God could do through you if you just got out of the doldrums in your head. You've parked your car And some of you are seriously considering throwing the keys away and dismantling the battery. And I'm here to say, what in the thunder? You're sitting in a Ferrari. And you have left the race? Folks, I do not believe that we can face Babylon ever again, but Jesus took our Babylon. We have grace to help in time of need. That's why, number three, God said to me what I said in the beginning. These are the most sacred days in your lives that will never be repeated. We'll never have this set up. We'll never be in this place again where we are on one hand stuck and on the other hand set free, and we're all crying out to God, God, what do you want from me? Till finally, you know, we're driving him up the whole wall, irritating him with this. They're sacred days. They're marvelous days. He's shining the hood ornament, man. Access the love, the everlasting love. Find grace in the wilderness. Be at peace because God is for you. And if God be for you, who can be against you? Amen. Look, I don't care what mistakes we've made. I listen to some of these, what I call mechanical preachers. They just mechanically preach a blend of grace and law. I mean, they insist on getting you saved by grace, but then they slap you back under a blend. You listen to them, it'll break your heart. There isn't a thing that you aren't going to pay for. I don't believe that.
No.
I don't believe it, not because I'm stubborn. I don't believe it because I don't believe it. It's not, it doesn't line up. Man will do his blang dang worst, but God will do his blang dang best.
Amen.
The angel of the Lord encampeth about those that fear him and delivereth them. God, there's a good verse right there. The angel of God will encamp about you who fear God, and he will deliver you. So now what does that mean? It means he'll deliver you.
That's right.
Why does the Bible talk about weak saying they're strong, poor saying they're rich, sick saying they're healthy, to psych you up? No, you got to wake up to what's on your side.
Amen.
We can't get hauled off to Babylon. Jesus was hauled off to Babylon for us on the cross. It is for us to find grace in the wilderness. And I want to say this from heaven, and it's all of everything tonight. It's so prophetic and so pertinent to our lives. I want to say this from the heart of Almighty God. You gotta stop frantically trying to find answers and solutions and open doors. God is a very present help in time of need. And God doesn't always do it according to our timetable. But I'm going to tell you here and I, God wants you tonight to find grace in your wilderness and just say, I'm going to give up on this crazy schedule I have for God's behavior. The devil's driving me mad. I'm fretting, and fretting only causes harm. I'm going to one step at a time let the Holy Ghost show me how to take this grace in the wilderness and get out of the wilderness. It's like the prophet said, I don't want to turn the, hey, you're going to go to captivity. If you try to get out of it, they'll kill you. Let them take you, but I'll tell you, in captivity, you'll be blessed. Get the blessing.
Amen.
Buy, sell, trade. Don't steal. Don't beg. Don't lie. Let's just peacefully and lovingly seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and say, you know, there's an everlasting love backing up all God has been drawing me through these years. And I will acknowledge it. And I will be glad for it. And I'll give God the glory for it. And I'll find peace in it and say, well, thank God for that. Thank God for the worst thing that ever happened to you. Just like you thank God for the best thing that ever happened to you. Because God's everlasting love has been drawing you.
Amen.
We're not desperate. We don't even know the language of desperation.
Right.
To be desperate, to be fearful, as that sweetheart sung tonight, is to deny God. It is to deny the everlasting love of Almighty God. It's to deny the fact that there's grace in the wilderness waiting for you to find. It's to deny the fact that you're supposed to be dancing and building a house on the side of the hill, and you're supposed to be growing the best grapes and playing the biggest parties to the glory of the grace of Almighty God, because Jesus took my Babylon.
Amen.
And I'll never have to face that again. My sins and my iniquities, he will remember no more.
That's right.
And that's it. And I'm not going to let you remember them, and I'm not going to remember them, and shut up, the devil's a liar.
Amen.
Amen.
Oh, ladies and gentlemen, get the picture. These are the most sacred days in your life, not the worst days in your life. And let that sacred job God is doing in your heart, as he stretches us through the burden to see this church established and the work established, make you to the person he wants you to be. And in the meantime, don't just bend nets. Come up with a franchise and end up owning all the nets and all the net menders, and then own the boats, and then clear the fish. Start a fish factory, a sardine factory. I don't care. Get ahead. It is time to be blessed and to believe it. Because God is good.
Amen.
And if he can make those promises to those folks in exile, then what promises are ours in the dispensation of grace?
Amen.
This new covenant, this beautiful new covenant. Grace for the best and worst days of your life.
Amen.
Find it.
Amen.
In the wilderness. Breathe again. Thank God for the grace that Jesus financed on the cross, that he guaranteed in the resurrection, that he secures at the right hand of his Father on a throne of grace. Thank God for the everlasting love that has drawn me. Wasn't the devil, wasn't me. It was God's everlasting love making sure. Oh God, thank you. Thank you for enlarging us and setting us all free tonight to find grace in the wilderness for the best and the worst days of our lives. Even as you said to them, behold, I'm the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Nothing at all, in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Well, I am blessed and I am grateful, aren't you?
Yes.
Isn't it a fabulous, perfect revelation of grace? What a wonderful thing to see. Well, I'm proud of you. Hallelujah.